Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Bill Belichick is not an analyzer of nightmares. He's a producer of nightmares.
How about that?
I'll just write that one down. That could be a t-shirt,
like
too.
Jeff Blum.
very similar to that. Yeah. We'll at least touch on the fact that both of your winter sports teams have hit little streaks here.
Yes.
Modest little streaks.
Heating up.
Bruins last night extended their winning streak to five games. Real test tomorrow night. Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals come to town. But a five-game winning streak. Couple of things that make this worth at least noting here. First of all, they've played some teams that are pretty good. Second of all, team defense is markedly better. Not a surprise when, you know, you get Chara back and he starts to get used to the knee brace, and you get Kevin Miller back and you get Brandon Carlo back. It stands to reason your defense would improve. You get Patrice Bergeron back. But their team defense is better. Tuukka Rask is playing like a number one goaltender.
Don't look now, but Tuukka Rask playing like you expected him to. You know, it took a little
4-0
ways
in his
to
last
get there,
four
but...
starts, goals against average at like 1.5 or something.
Yeah, pretty good.
Save percentage of 950. Looked very, very strong.
Yeah.
Now, that was, if ever there was such a thing as a team shutout, that was it. You know, he had 24 saves, and I don't think
nothing crazy,
two of them
really.
were real testers.
Yeah.
But the team's
Jake DeBrusk
playing,
got a nice goal.
You know, every time you think you've seen everything.
Yeah, you're like, what is this?
And it was so funny because even he just sort of puts his palms up in the air like, I don't know.
He's like, do I get that? Like, you're the last one to touch it. There you go. Go off right off the chest or whatever it was. But I have two Bruins-related questions for you. One, what do you think the situation is with Charlie McAvoy?
I think he's going to play, if not tomorrow night, Saturday night.
Do you think the him being late to stuff was... just like a message being sent
yes.
to him, and do you think he's...
The fact that it was brought out publicly,
yeah.
I think it was absolutely a, get your crap together
right.
here.
Well, I know
you're a young guy.
You're still a pro.
Know what's you know, expected of you,
yeah.
what you've got to do. And to his credit, at least outwardly, he's taken the message to heart. He mentioned that Brad Marchand was a guy who was really giving it to him, and he said, you know what, he only cares about me, and I really... like that and respect that.
Yeah, because there's a couple of different ways you can go with that.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, as a young guy, and then if you all of a sudden start to get criticized a little bit and a little bit of attention on you for something that's not positive. You know, because when he first came up, he made his debut in the playoffs, and he was awesome. People loved him. Like, right away, he was embraced. It was a bit of a fan favorite. But now, you know, it's been tough for him this season due to injuries, and you're waiting for him to make that next step, and it may coincide with that next contract, which he's probably going to be getting next year. But they need him. Like he needs to be really good for them. And so we'll see how he, hopefully he could just get back on the ice and stay on the ice.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with how they've handled this. And it's kind of funny because, like, Bruce Cassidy said, look, I didn't even know about it because the veterans on the team took care of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was late getting on a bus one time. Supposedly Sean Thornton was the guy who was the bus time police. You know, it's
yeah,
like
you had to answer to him.
He'd
to
be chirping at you,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And he'd say, hey, what time does the 2 o'clock bus leave? You know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Supposedly what we've read is that McAvoy was late getting on a bus one time. They kind of gave it to him. He was reportedly late for a special teams meeting one time. And again,
you had to pay for dinner or
now,
something like that.
Now, if you're asking about Cassidy, he wouldn't necessarily know either of those two things. He would He's in all likelihood not conducting the special teams meeting. Mm-hmm. One of the assistant coaches is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, I didn't even know about it. The veterans on the team took care of it. They've got veteran leadership, guys like obviously Chara and Bergeron, and Marchand is one of those.
But as far as we know, all of the games that he has missed this year are all for
absolutely.
Injury.
Yes.
None of them have been for disciplinary
and nothing like that. I mean, unfortunately, he's had a couple of injury issues. He had a concussion earlier on.
Which
and
you then just don't know time-wise.
And then he had the foot injury where he blocked the shot. That's the one he's coming back from. The problem with the injury with the foot was that, obviously, you can't skate.
Right.
So that's why it's taken him a little bit of time now that he's back practicing. They'll have a full practice today, reportedly. He'll get a good full practice under his belt. I don't know about tomorrow, but I would say Saturday in Toronto would probably be the outside date that he'd be playing again, if
mm-hmm.
I was guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a pretty good little thing going here.
Now, my other question would be, they still have time, obviously, but trades. Is there any possibility of, you know, who could be gone, what they'd be looking for to get in here? How aggressive do you think they're going to be this year?
I think that Don Sweeney would still like to make a deal. I think he would still like to make an addition to this roster.
Yeah.
I hear this all the time. I hear people say, well, you know, trade Torrey Krug. Well, Torrey Krug is almost a point-per-game defenseman. After he had two more points last night. He's got like 28 points in 32 games or something.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of those out there.
No, I like Krug, but remember at the beginning of the year, the conversation was, do you have Krug and Grizzlick both on? Can you play them both? Not necessarily together, but even just,
right.
Can you have two of them?
And
as
the answer apparently
defenseman?
Is yes.
So far, yes. Playoff time,
now,
do you feel the same way?
When McAvoy comes back, I'll be curious to see who sits down. My guess is that it might be Grizzlick.
Yeah.
Carlo's playing really well right now.
Although the chances of them having everybody healthy for stretches.
It never happens.
Don't even
but,
have
you
to
know,
worry about it.
Brandon Carlo's playing really well. They love Kevin Miller. John Moore has been a great addition to the blue line. You're not going to sit Krug. My guess is when McAvoy comes back, it's probably Grizzlick who gets bounced.
So trade deadline is February 25th. So they still have plenty of time.
Big trade deadline show on Nesson that afternoon.
I can't wait.
After I get off the air here, I'll rush over there.
Zip over there. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully they do something. And, you know, whether it's a wing or I still think that's probably where I would go. The defensemen, it's been tough to figure out because they haven't been healthy all year. They haven't had the whole group anyway.
It's as close right now as it's been.
Yeah, now it is.
You're missing McAvoy, but... presumably either tomorrow or Saturday, you'll actually get a chance to decide who's going to play and who
But isn't. If you could only add one thing, wouldn't it be a wing?
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody to play with Krejci.
They've got Backes playing right wing with Krejci and DeBrusk right now, and I'm not sure that even they feel that that's necessarily the best spot for him.
Probably not.
But they don't have any other candidates.
No, right. Where else are you going to turn to? So, yeah, that's probably where I would look forward. And do they have... I mean, I guess you could trade draft picks and the young guys. Like, how appetizing is what they have for other teams?
Oh, they've got some things that are very appetizing.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they've got some things that other teams would want. It's a question of how much you're going to be willing to give up.
Right.
You're not going to trade. I mean, forget about, and we'll get this inevitably. Yeah, well, trade Chara. He's got a no-trade clause.
Yeah. I mean, the more realistic ones would
Rask.
Be... No, the more realistic ones would be Ryan Donato and Danton Heinen and then, like, Trent Frederick down at that level and JFK, all those guys.
It's the young guys, you know, the up-and-coming guys who you'd kind of like to have filter into your system
right,
here.
Right.
They're fun to watch right now. They're playing well right now. They've got a five-game win streak. Ovechkin and the Capitals come to town tomorrow night, and that'll be a test. Real legitimate test. Although the Caps aren't playing great. I think they're, like... 2-2-1 in their last five games or something, but it'll be fun to see the battle of the one-timers between Ovechkin and Pasternak.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Which is coming up. Mm-hmm. Now, the Celtics have also got a modest little win streak
they
going here.
Don't look now. Three straight wins and also getting pretty healthy. Still waiting for Aaron Baines, but they've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. Kyrie Irving was out for a couple games after getting scratched in the eye, but he was back. They beat the Nets on Monday. They had eight guys in double figures. It was one of those games where they just had everybody chipping in. When they really needed a bucket, they would still go to Kyrie Irving. Tonight, though, is a real test. You're talking about the Bruins or the Capitals tomorrow. Well, the Celtics, there's four teams ahead of them in the standings in the East, and one of those teams is the Indiana Pacers, and that's who they got tonight. Victor Oladipo, ever since he's gotten traded to Indiana as part of that Paul George deal, he's been a real all-star. Like, he's good, and he dominates the Celtics. Remember last year, he smoked the Celtics. But they don't have a lot of big names on their team, but they're solid. Like, right now, that'd be a team that you probably wouldn't even want to face in the playoffs. So
think about last year, too. They were one game away from beating Cleveland.
Indiana was. Yeah,
Indiana,
right.
They
went
to game
exactly.
seven.
Yeah, exactly. So they're pretty tough, and Oladipo's really good. A nice game because this little mini winning streak hasn't really come against great teams, and that's fine. You got to beat the teams that are worse than you.
Right.
That's part of it in the NBA. That's how you get these 50-60 win totals. You have to dominate those games. But this would be one of the more signature wins. They already have a couple under their belt this year, but if you take care of Indiana at home, that's a nice then maybe you could really start to see this winning streak pick up and maybe we see the team that we thought we were going
to
see.
Is it similar to the Bruins in that, you know, just let me see everybody healthy. Let me see everybody out there and healthy and going. Like the Bruins, I've been saying the entire season, just let me see the whole roster.
Yeah, well, this one's different because you have seen them healthy at times and
right. They
don't always play very well. When they're missing a guy, and again, Aaron Baines, I put off to a separate category. He's been out for a while. You want Aaron Baines. He makes the team better. He's really good defensively. He's not looking for a ton of shots, but it's the other guys. The top six or seven guys, as far as points per game and shots per game, when one of them is out of the lineup, they seem to all play better. And it almost doesn't matter who it is. Now, they're undefeated without Jaylen Brown, But they also have a good record without Al Horford. They have a good record without Kyrie Irving. It's when they're all together, you can't just assume it's all going to work out. Like, you're like, hey, like with Bruins, I feel more like, hey, get them all out there. All the talent's going to figure itself out, and they're going to be better off. The Celtics, you still haven't seen very many complete games when they're all out there. It's like a few of the guys are still searching for their role. Like, you don't know what it is. And that's not a very good sign because we're halfway through the season. What if they played 39 games? Or, I mean, we're right around it. And still, when Hayward and Brown and even Tatum and Morris, when all those guys are playing together, somebody that night has to take a back seat, and I don't know how comfortable they are with it. So, I don't know. They're still a bit of a mystery to me. I don't know. I mean, and I'm sure they are to Brad Stevens, too.
See, you talk about, you know, who's going to be willing to take a back seat. You've got a similar situation at the moment. There was an article out there that I read today. Fluto wrote it on The Athletic about the Bruins and David Krejci. And he's had, like, literally seven different guys play right wing with him this year.
He had a
stint when Bergeron was out of the lineup where he was playing between Pastrnak and Marchand.
He looked pretty good.
And he looked great. And he's putting up points.
Weird how that works.
And, you know, as Bruce Cassidy said, he'd probably rather play with Pastrnak. So would everybody else on the team.
Yeah, or the league.
And as Bruce said, he may inevitably end up playing with Pastrnak. But when asked about it, Krejci said, I'm fine. You know, team's winning. Yeah. Team's going well. I'm good, whatever they want to do. That's what you got to hear out of the Celtics. What you got to hear is, hey, listen, whatever's best for the team, that's hard to do.
Well, and they, a lot of times,
Krejci's got a long-term deal. He's got his money. He's not worried about anything.
I feel like nobody has really tripped up in what they have said. You remember earlier in the year, there was the Terry Rozier trade rumors, which I think Bill Simmons just like started like on a tweet, and it took on a life of its own. But he said all the right things. He's like, oh, if people know me, they know I wouldn't want to be out of here, and I'm fine coming off the bench. But he's in a contract year. I can't imagine he really feels that way. But he at least says the right things. Jaylen Brown, a while ago, after having an off season where he said he's going to win the next five titles or whatever the hell he said, he made a claim like, well, he's like, I know I'm not the best player, but I always play really hard and blah, 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 blah. So a lot of these guys say the right stuff, but just out there on the court, it doesn't seem to mesh, which is so odd because you would think, give me all the talent in the world. Just give me all the talent and you have a good head coach. It's going to work out. But it really hasn't. Like, there's been flashes of it where you're like, okay, this is the team. But I still don't know what they are. And we had this conversation the other day. You know, what would be more surprising, the Patriots making the Super Bowl or the Celtics winning the East? And at the beginning of both seasons, I would have said the more likely scenario would be the Celtics making it to the NBA Finals. Now it's the reverse. So Patriots have two games, and I think that's much more likely than the Celtics having to go on a run where they have to probably be on the road for every playoff series. They would have to beat, you know, Philly or Milwaukee or Toronto or probably two out of those teams, maybe even Indiana. Like, right now, it doesn't look like they're going to be that team.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, well, good morning, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Mark?
Great.
How are you?
Dale, I owe you an apology. You said something last night on the Bruins broadcast that I laughed my ass off and almost fell off my couch. And you said, Danton Heinen's going to score tonight.
No, so I did not.
Or was that you? Or was that Billy?
Billy Jaffe predicted
it. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize to Dale. Apologize to Jaffe.
Listen, I'd love to take credit for it, but it was just as we were signing off on the pregame show, and he said, Danton Heinen's going to score, and 5 minutes into the game, he did.
Through to Moore, the wrist shot, tip scores, Danton Heinen.
I do believe that the Bruins are going to get the monkey off their back tomorrow night, and they're going to beat Washington.
Well, that would be nice. As I said, this is a test. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. They've got Alex Ovechkin. They've got Braden Holtby, who just has
the
Bruins number.
He'd be a Hall of Famer.
If all he ever played was the Bruins, he'd be the greatest goaltender who ever lived.
Of all time.
I thought it would be interesting to see how Bruce Cassidy was going to handle it. He's already announced that, you know, assuming things don't change dramatically, he's going to start Halak tomorrow night and then start Tuca Saturday in Toronto. Tuca's had very good numbers against Toronto and in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some respects, he's not going to say this, but it's like, look, we've had a hard time beating the Caps no matter what we've done. Let's give Halak a chance.
Yeah.
You know, let's throw him out there and see if it changes our luck at all.
Yeah. I mean, Halak, now the last time we saw him, they got the win. He wasn't super sharp,
right?
But they still got the win against a really good team. So he's still been good. And you know, just because Tuca is on a hot streak, I don't think you want to necessarily burn him out either, Right? I mean, it's a, you're playing for the playoffs, too. And when you have both goaltenders going, like, I understand on the one hand, oh, ride the hot goalie. But in reality, give Rask rest. You want to make sure that he's, you know, good to go come playoff time.
But, you know, rather than playing like every other game, which for a while there, it was almost like a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
What you'd like to see
like two,
is Tuukka Rask play two out of every three.
Yeah, yeah.
Three out of every four. You know, something like that so that you're still not wearing him out. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, but he's still playing at that number one level. He had this kind of streak last year. It was like December into January, mm-hmm. where he went like 19 straight games where he was like unbelievable. He has that feel about him right now where that sort of streak could be in him.
Yeah.
And if he does, they're only 3 points behind Toronto for second place in the Atlantic right now.
Right.
Going into the big game Saturday night. Now, you're not going to catch Tampa probably because they are not going to lose.
I doubt it. Right.
They are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I haven't checked in the last few days, but at one point they were like 32-7. I mean, they just don't lose.
No, they don't. I mean, that's kind of what everybody thought going into the year. They're going
to
be that
they were
good.
The team to
beat. I think the surprise is just how good the division is, like with Buffalo and Montreal. Yep. That's the bigger shock.
Although what you're seeing is that both Buffalo and Montreal are starting come back to the pack a little bit.
Yep.
And now Carey Price has already announced he's going to skip the All-Star game. He's going to get suspended by the NHL game.
So stupid.
Most idiotic. The NHL can't get out of its own damn way.
That's so dumb. Like, sorry, I don't want to play in this 3-on-3 tournament.
Yeah, this 3-on-3 tournament because.
And
I'm
as
really,
a goaltender, too, on top of it. Like,
because
no
I'm really important to my team.
Right.
My team's trying to make sure we can get in the playoffs. I don't want to take a chance. I want to make sure I'm ready. Doing exactly what he should do. Ovechkin the same way, by the way.
Yeah, right.
They win the Stanley Cup final last year. He's playing until the middle of June.
So dumb.
And he says, you know what? I gotta relax here. I gotta get ready for the second half.
Too bad
of the
they
season.
Weren't playing the Capitals the day he was suspended.
That'd
that
be great.
That been, I would have really appreciated that.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Proved to Moore, the wrist shot, tip scores, Danton Heinen. Bergeron, the quick release, Marchand on the rebound, scores! Eric Staal, the save by Rask! Bergeron, off of DeBrusque, he chests it in! Marchand chases all the way out to the blue line, he's the only man skating, off of Bergeron, skate, and it goes in! A professional victory by Boston, a scheduled loss for Minnesota. 4-0 the final, Tuukka Rask's first shutout of the season, the 42nd of his career.
As Billy Jaffe put it last night, the Minnesota Wild kind of FedExed that game in after the third goal.
They were like, all right, forget it.
Can we just go get on the plane now and get out of here?
Is that the band Saliva, Rossi, underneath
Nailed
that
it.
Montage? Oh, that.
Look
their
at
hit,
you.
Their hit Click Click Boom. Not bad.
Look at the big brain.
They had one other hit.
They had a few.
They had one other hit. What was that one called?
Oh, you're asking me.
Yeah, the one that I'm thinking of. What was that one called?
Saliva all was a part of the Hero track with Chad Kroeger from the Spider-Man soundtrack. It was Saliva featuring Chad Kroeger.
Nope, not what I'm thinking of.
Spider-Man soundtrack wasn't the one you were thinking of?
No, but yeah, shocker, I know.
What?
They had Always.
No, I'll think of it. I'll think of it by the end of the program. But yeah, good win. Good solid win for the Bruins. You got a nice little winning streak going here. Don't look now.
Take five in a row and run.
Yes.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
What up, Mike? Hey, Mike. Mike, 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 Mike.
No, don't do that.
Guess what day it is.
I'll put him on hold. Luke's up in Maine. Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Luke?
Going on?
Just talk about the Celtics chemistry issues. I think it's rooted in one thing, and it's the injury that Hayward had last year. And bringing him back has, you know, he's not playing at his full potential because of the slow comeback from the injury. It's also created minutes issues for two guys in particular. I think Morris and Jaylen Brown.
But I feel like Morris. Sorry, I'll let you keep going, Luke. But I feel like Morris has really made the most of it. He's had almost an all-star type of season.
And that's the root of the problem. Is everybody thought he would kind of fade through the background and Jaylen Brown would keep the minutes, but Brown's gotten like regressed and Morris has stepped up. He's had an all-star season. So my question for you, Keith, is to me to get things right, they need to trade one of these two guys this year, and which one do you think they should trade between Morris and Brown?
Oh, boy. Well, so Morris is a free agent at the end of the year, so he would be
want to trade him.
He would be the more logical one, but he's been so good, I don't want to trade him. Marcus Morris, This is actually a problem for the rest of the Celtics. Outside of Kyrie Irving, Marcus Morris has been their best player. That shouldn't happen. Like, and good for him, right? But it's the other you're waiting for, and not that Tatum's had a bad year, he hasn't, but Tatum and Horford and Brown and Hayward and even Smart and Rozier, you kind of expected more out of those guys. Marcus Morris has been a real bright spot for this team. I guess my question would be, do you think they're going to re-sign him? Because he's going to make a lot of money. He's making like $5 million this year. He's got to be on one of the better deals for his production in the NBA. And so if you're going to bring him back, then you're obviously not going to deal him. Jaylen Brown, I'd be fine trading. I don't want to just trade him for a bag of balls. Like, you can't just trade him for and say, well, this will fix the chemistry. But he would definitely be on my list. I have no problem trading him
away.
You know
who looks like he's less of a chemistry issue than I thought earlier in the season? Terry Rozier.
Yeah, that kind of blew over a little bit.
It blew over. No, there was the narrative early on about, look, he's not even cheering on his teammates. He's sitting down there at the end of the bench sulking.
Yeah, right.
And then you saw the video here recently of him standing on the sidelines and jumping around and waving his hands.
Yeah, he's definitely a better player when he starts, though, it feels like. Like, he's a little bit more engaged when he starts. But yeah, as far as being a bad teammate or anything like that, it doesn't seem like they have any real problems there. It's just still guys trying to figure it out. You know, the reality is Jaylen Brown played, I think it's about 3.5 more minutes a game last year. And that may not sound like a lot, but I'm sure for him it is. And that also comes with less shots and everything else. But the reality is he's not one of their better scorers. So the shots are going to have to go to other guys. So you're going to have to find a way to contribute even if you're not scoring as much as you think that you should.
All right, let's try Mike in Wakefield again. Hey, Mike.
Hey, sorry, guys.
No problem. What's up?
I'm technologically illiterate. I didn't have the microphone on.
No problem.
What up? All right. So hump day. So just to answer that.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
It is.
We're gonna settle this once and for all.
All right.
There's no prettier girl in the world than Lucy, first of all. Second of all, I would take Saunders over Coleman, hands down. I'm with you, Keith.
Saunders. Yep. Holly Saunders, number one in the power rankings.
You would do that, but you'd be wrong.
Oh, I would not be wrong, Dale.
That's right. In fact, you're the one that's in the minority here.
So quick hockey take. DeBrusk, boy, is he lucky that puck wasn't 1 foot higher or 1 foot lower, right?
Jeez.
Seriously.
Uh-huh.
Dumb luck extraordinaire. On the Celtics, you know, these guys really got to grow up and stop being babies. I mean, there's enough great players, not great, but there's enough good enough players on that team to have two legitimate squads marching out on that court. You know, oh, I'm first unit, oh, I'm second unit. And that stuff doesn't matter. The point is, you could literally have two units out there back and forth that can dominate those games all day long.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, you would think that that would be the case. I like all the talent that they have, but for some reason it has not meshed. It hasn't really figured itself out. And I don't know if it will this year, and then who knows, maybe the roster even looks different after that. But it seems like it's less of a Danny Ainge issue for me than it would be a Brad Stevens issue. And they're on a winning streak right now. They got a test tonight against the Pacers, so maybe things will start to figure itself out. But right now they have been very, very underwhelming.
Download the Radio.com app and take WEEI with you wherever you go. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
(laughs) 617-779-7937 is the telephone number.
This is the one I was thinking of.
There you go. I think we've pretty much plumbed the depths of the saliva
catalog
hit list.
We celebrated the entire catalog. This song,
Your
this
Disease.
Is a good one. Yeah, this is a good one.
I did hear Lucy in the other room. She was reading more lyrics and saying, yeah, I love this band.
Good band.
They're known poets. for their lyrics.
Yeah, they're like Shakespeare, these guys.
Not that you could understand any of them, but.
No, they'll. This was the rap rock era.
New metal, as they called it.
New metal?
N-U.
Yeah. And they would really kind of, yeah, listen to this part. Look at that. This guy's got honey in his voice. Go ahead, take it. Real nice. Wait, are you telling me this is the same guy that was also rapping a moment ago?
What?
No way.
The range.
One of the more versatile lead singers that you're probably ever going to hear. Him and Fred Durst.
Well, there you go. Yeah. We've plumbed the depth. So,
yeah.
I was very excited today. Jermaine Wiggins made his debut on Mutt and Callahan this
love
morning.
Love Wiggy.
I love Wiggy.
Yes.
Work with him at Nesson.
Yes.
You know, we've both known him for a long time. He was on two Super Bowl championships, right?
One.
Just the one?
Yeah, I believe he was replaced by a certain Christian Fourier. Yeah.
What? Payback time.
Yeah,
that's what Wiggy was saying to us behind closed doors.
Wiggy was, of course, the hero of the snowball game.
He had
1,000 catches.
An unbelievable game in the snowball game.
Yeah.
So Wiggy came in this morning, and as I mentioned earlier on the program, Jerry said, Wiggy came in today with 32 donuts.
Amazing.
30 white donuts, 2 black donuts.
Hilarious.
Which is currently the ratio.
I mean, that is hilarious.
Black coaches in the National Football League.
And by the way, because the salespeople are in this office
now,
they're all gone.
Yeah.
All the donuts
are gone. There's 1.5 donut left.
Yeah, which you know somebody licked
somebody
one of them probably and took a bite. It's not a good scene in there.
So anyway, Wiggy came in and, you know, there was some football talk. You have Wiggy in studio.
I would hope so.
You got to talk some football.
Former player.
Well, you got Wiggy. You've got the co-host of NFL Sunday. Mutt,
that's true.
You can do a deep dive into the football stuff when you got those two brains going.
Were they flying commercial, Jerry? Were they in the coach, like sitting in the back in the middle row?
No, who said that?
Because I don't think they. I think they're going to arrive here Friday. Mm-hmm. They'll be acclimated fine to it. And if they lose, well, they're not going to say, "Boy, we're tired. That stupid flight we got on."
See, this is
done,
what
they made an excuse all year about.
But this
the
is what aggravates me is like guys who've never played sports, who've never played football.
Here we go.
North Middle Cross country doesn't count. It's not a sport. Guys who have never played, right? They always go to this. They always look at it.
Yeah, tricky look at who is better this year.
No.
Who had a better year?
No. They always look at like, oh, they were a better regular season team.
Sure.
So when you get to the playoffs, how many wild card games you playing?
What?
How many wild card games have you played in wild card weekend?
Zero.
Okay. The point that I'm trying to make is when you get to the playoffs.
So you think that your experience playing football gives you a better insight into the game because you played in a football game and
what
I
it gives,
didn't?
No, yes.
You,
what
you
it give,
can't not be
yes,
serious.
What it gives me is an understanding of what it means to play in the regular season versus what it means to play in the playoffs.
Let me guess, it's tougher.
No. Every week is. So when you go from wild card to the divisional round.
Because
the
you're playing better teams as the third. Tournament goes on.
It's
correct?
About it is about.
Yeah, but when
teams.
You analyze the teams, Mutt, you don't look at the fact that they just played and they played a very violent game at Baltimore,
right?
And then had to
not that, like not. That I don't matters. Put as much stock into it as you do. I think the Chargers are still that much better where they can overcome
the last?
That.
Good breakdown. I'm with Wiggy.
So wait a minute.
Each round, it gets a little bit tougher.
Did
the Patriots have been there.
Did Mutt say? Do you think you can analyze it better because you played? Was it? Was that the bumper sticker version?
He was curious about that. And Wiggy said yes, and then Wiggy was explaining how it gets tougher each round in the playoffs, which he's right, something that Wiggy experienced. The divisional round game was the snowball game, so there's not a better divisional round moment than the Adam Vinatieri kick and Wiggy having 1,000 catches and then you know the tuck rule, all of that. That was all in the divisional round. Wiggy's been there, done that. That was a great addition to the show this morning. I'd like to hear more Jermaine Wiggins.
I want to hear more Jermaine Wiggins.
Yes,
and. It seems sort of self-evident to me that a guy who's played in the league, has played regular season and playoff football, would have a better understanding.
However, I also want to make it clear that you can't just say...
No.
The reality is the sports talk radio would be awful if it was just former players.
I agree.
But when you're talking about something specific like this, yes, Jermaine has experience with it and would know certainly more than somebody who didn't play in this example. Like most examples, you're like, well, no, like everybody can watch the games, but he's talking about being in this round of the playoffs and the difference between regular season, wild card weekend, and the divisional round. So this in this case, it does apply. But in some of the other stuff, you'd be left with, you know, John Ritchie hosting a bunch of shows and you'd be in trouble.
I agree, and I hate the idea, and sometimes
coward.
Athletes do this, you know, well, how would you know... You know, you never played the game.
No, John Ritchie literally asked me who was I playing for back in 2002. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You were playing.
I was. At 02, yeah, high school, college, whatever it was, I was playing.
You were.
Thanks for asking, John.
At a high level, I might say.
The highest.
So then Mutt and Wiggy got into a
fight.
A physical
fight.
They were rolling around in the dirt.
It was pretty
They got into
a
disagreement about whether or not Tom Brady is, in fact, in decline.
I'm going to say this. He's the best quarterback of all time.
Okay.
He was not the best quarterback in the league this year. He showed decline in his play.
Who's arguing with that?
Straw man over there.
Because of his age. I'm saying because of his age and getting older, he is shown in decline in his play, and Curran fought back against this guy on social media. Wiggy's telling me these are terrible stats.
Because of his age?
So, yes.
That has nothing to do with...
So why did he play poorly this year?
Okay. There's about 5 interceptions that he threw this year that were deflections that weren't his fault.
Okay. So that's true, but he also was worse this year than last year. That's the reality of it. Nobody's denying that, though, right? Because Mutt's saying it like he's the only one saying it to when they start that off.
Well, ironically, though, he was better this year than he was in 2014. If you look at the numbers.
Okay.
He had a better year this year than 2014. They won the Super Bowl in 2014.
Yeah, but he was also better the last 2 years than he was this year. And you could also say that how he ranks compared to other quarterbacks this year compared to 14 isn't as good. Where, like, the way the league, like, how easy it is to pass. Like, where did he rank? I mean, we could look that up, but where he ranked in some of the stats in 14 compared to the rest of the league, I bet was higher than it is now.
Sure. I mean, that's the big thing about Brady's numbers this year, as you correctly point out, is quarterback numbers around the league have gone through the roof.
Yeah, they're pretty much off the charts now.
And his numbers actually went down from last year, an MVP season, but they are better than they were, you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah, but you would expect it. So 4 years ago, he finished fifth in quarterback rating. This year, he finished 12th. So, again, you have to take into account the way the league is going. So I don't even know if his numbers were necessarily better then or worse then. So this year he's not as good. I do think a big part of it is Gronk. Like, I think a lot of it comes down to Rob Gronkowski just not being as good and not having that elite game-changing weapon to throw to. And not that he's always had that, but he's been able to make up for it more in the past than maybe you would say this year. Like, look at all the other top guys in the league. The quarterbacks that you felt like had better seasons than him, they all have one, two, or in some cases, three playmakers better than he does. So
And Tom Curran, we talked about that article, you know, the deep dive stats article
from yesterday. Yeah, the Bleacher Report one.
You know, with the GPS stuff and all that. And
it's pretty wild.
And Tom Curran, you know, when he responded to it, and we'll talk to Tom about this at 110, he said, you know, who's he got to throw the ball to? Who's he got around him? He's got Rob Gronkowski at a decidedly lower level than he's been in the past. He doesn't have Brandon Cooks. You know, he's got a rather underwhelming group of wide receivers as a whole. And Tom said maybe that has more to do with a drop-off in numbers, and I do think that's fair.
I do.
And I think Wiggy's point with Mutt and Jerry this morning was his numbers have dropped off from last year. Kind of stands to reason. He had an MVP season. They were probably not going to get better.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. Yeah.
But was it because he's 41 years old, or was it because of the people around him? In fact, Wiggy thinks that Tom Brady's still one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Do you think Tom Brady has showed decline in his play this year?
I don't think he's had as good year that he's had in the past. Yeah, so there's a little bit decline in this season.
Okay, so what's the problem?
But to look at Tom, he's still a top five, top six quarterback in the league.
Man, that's right on the cusp, at least for me. Because we said yesterday,
top 10.
He's fourth out of four left in the AFC playoffs. And then if you look at the NFC, what do you got? Dak Prescott, Nick Foles, Jared Goff, and Drew Brees. So probably only Brees you would take over. So out of the eight quarterbacks left in the playoffs, is he sixth? Fifth?
Fifth.
Fifth. Fifth.
According to you, he's fifth.
Okay. Well, and you. You just confirmed.
Well, I just gave you the number.
Where would you put him?
Probably fourth. I still take him over Luck.
Yeah, not the season.
I know Luck's been playing well, but I think right now I'd still take Brady over Luck.
Where would you put him, Dale, in the playoffs?
In the AFC, I'd put him fourth
overall
of the quarterbacks who are left.
Yeah.
He'd certainly be behind Breeze.
That's probably
in the NFC.
I don't think Goff really came crashing down to earth at the end of the year. So I'm not going to put Goff there. Plus he's surrounded with so many good players.
I'm not putting
Dak Prescott
in front of him.
No. Although Nick Foles may have his number.
No.
But I'd rather have Brady than anybody in the NFC other than Breeze.
AFC and Breeze, I'd have ahead of the eight quarterbacks that are left, I'd have Brady fifth.
And every other year, he is first or second every single time. First or
oh,
second.
Oh, God,
every
you don't even
time.
Hesitate.
And now he's probably a little bit lower. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely. Wouldn't you say, though, there's been years in the past, and that's why I think age might be a factor on this list. It can't just be one thing. It's not a one single reason why he's not as good as he was last year. Plus, it's not this insane drop-off year to year either.
No,
like,
no,
this
no.
isn't a cliff scenario at all. He is just, I would say, a little bit worse than he was a year ago. But
as you look at it, if you try to be an objective Patriots fan, that may be an oxymoron.
Yes.
But if you try to be, and you acknowledge that Tom Brady, his numbers this year were not as good as last year, I think that's pretty objective. I don't think anybody would suggest otherwise.
I mean, that's just raw that's numbers.
Fact.
They are worse.
That's
yeah,
fact.
Right.
So then the question becomes, what are the reasons? Now, I understand that there's more than one and there's several different things, but the primary reason for me is the people around him as opposed to the age.
Third and goal from the two. Brady chucks it up in the air. Picked off! To Marty! He's got it! The Chargers have picked off Brady three times! What a play.
Well, a horrible decision by Tom Brady. Terrible throw. I'd have bet my mother, please forgive me, Mom, I'd have bet my mother that Tom Brady would not have been picked off three times in this game.
Now San Diego has the football and new life, and it could have been a momentum swing right there.